It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have you here as well. I'd appreciate it if you'd open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to look at a passage from Paul's letter to the Galatians here in just a little bit. Crucified with Christ is going to be the theme, if you will, of the lessons I'm going to preach in February. And the idea comes from the 20th verse of Galatians chapter 2, in which Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. Then we'll talk about what it means to no longer live, and then we'll talk about it is Christ who lives in me. And those will be the three lessons that we'll look at from this passage this month. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you'll get much out of it. I wonder if you would agree with the following view of the cross of Christ. The crucifixion of Christ was a once-for-all substitution of the Son of God in my place, so that I would not have to suffer, but could enjoy the abundant life that he purchased for me. When you hear that, and you start reading it, you think, well, yeah, it was a once-for-all substitution. He died on the cross once, not having to do it over and over again, and he did that for all. However, the second part of the statement, he died in my place so that I would not have to suffer, but could enjoy the abundant life that he purchased for me. That's actually a pretty common belief among those who claim to be Christians in this day and age. Yet Paul talks about in Galatians 2:20 by saying, I have been crucified with Christ. And that doesn't sound very pleasurable, does it? When you actually start thinking about what that concept means. And so my question for us this morning is, where is the cross, the crucifixion of Christ, in your life? Where is the cross in your life? Has it been left on a hill somewhere in the Middle East 2,000 years ago? That Christ died for us once for all, and so now we're good to go? Has the cross been comfortably left in the past in our lives? And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of us think about the cross of Christ. That was something that was done for me over 2,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago. Yet when we look at Luke chapter 9, at verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The cross was never intended to be left behind by those who follow Christ. Jesus took my place on the cross, and then he showed me what I must do to follow him. I have to take up my cross daily. When we talk about taking up the cross, we talked about this when we talked about Paul's determination to know nothing except Christ and him crucified among the Corinthians. When we talk about taking up the cross, it is implied that we're going to a crucifixion. Jesus bore his cross to his death, to his crucifixion. And when he tells us to take up our cross daily, he's telling us, you take up that cross and bear it towards your crucifixion. And you do it daily. God expects us to be crucified daily. And expects us to bear that cross. We talk about being born again. right? Talk about we must be born again. Jesus told that to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And it has become a very popular idea or phrase among the broader Christian community, if you will. Born again Christians. But if you think about it, in order to be born again, this requires the death of the old self. And it's that old self that we're crucifying. And the reason we have to do that on a daily basis is because when we were baptized and we're buried with Christ and we're putting to death the old man and we're putting off the old man and we're dying to the old man, the problem with that old man is he wants to keep coming back, doesn't he? He wants to keep reasserting himself. And so I find that I need to crucify him over and over and over and over again. And we're not talking about being rebaptized. We're not talking about getting baptized every day. We're talking about the idea that Paul is talking about. Being crucified with Christ. I need to let go of self and focus on bearing my cross and crucifying certain aspects, certainly, of my life, that old man. We have to understand that Christ died to save us from hell, but he did not die to save us from the cross. Christ died, and he gives us, he presents to us the idea of being glorified. But he doesn't protect us from being crucified. And so much of the time we think about that substitutionary sacrifice, and we think, Christ was crucified for me. I don't have to worry about that. No, that couldn't be further from the truth. He must bear his cross daily. The cross of Christ is not merely a past place of substitution. It's also a present place of daily execution. But I don't know that we view our lives that way. I don't know how often I get up in the morning and think about, okay, what am I going to have to do to put that old man to death today? What am I going to have to do to crucify self today? How long is that going to plague me? How long is that going to go on? What am I going to have to do to solve this problem? And that's what leads Paul to say, I am crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, Paul is talking about all the advantages he had in Judaism. And he was talking about all of his self-righteousness under the law of Moses. Yet when he's confronted with the gospel, he says, but what things were gained to me? This is Philippians 3 at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now listen to verses 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, look, I'm getting rid of all this stuff that's not doing me any good. It's counted as rubbish. And I'm laying hold of what Christ has actually done for me. And the way I'm doing that is I'm going to be conformed to his death. That means I'm going to emulate what he did. I'm going to take the cross that I'm supposed to bear daily, and I'm going to crucify myself on it. And this is a mindset. This is thinking about self and how I've got to put self to death. And I have got to do this so that I might have hope of the resurrection, that I might attain the resurrection. In Galatians 5:24, Paul says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. And I'll tell you, it's a whole lot easier to indulge the flesh than it is to crucify the flesh. And that's one of the great battles that we face. A focus on the cross is crucial to the Christian life. The idea of crucifixion, of self, is crucial to Christian life and ministry. All of self has to be crucified on the cross. My dreams, my desires, our ways, our thoughts, our ego, our pride, our selfishness, all of that has to be put to death on the cross on a daily basis. I mean, think about your days. And think about how on some of those days, your selfishness takes precedence. Does that happen to you sometimes? Yeah, it does. I know it does because you're human beings. Does your ego ever take precedence over Christ some days? Your pride? How about your dreams or your desires? I know that mine do. And I sit there and I think, Craig, you've got to crucify those things. You've got to put those things to death. Not lay them aside so you can pick them up later. Because believe me, they're going to intrude all on their own without you having to pick them up. Craig, what you need to do is you need to put those things to death, and you need to do it on a daily basis, and that's the challenge. Jesus, when he was crucified, think about it. He let go of everything. Everything when he submitted to crucifixion. Let's not comfort ourselves by thinking that, I'm glad that I haven't got people coming and banging down my door to crucify me like they went out in a mob to crucify Jesus. Jesus was not taken and crucified. Jesus gave himself to be crucified. He committed himself to being crucified for our salvation. And in doing so, he let everything go. And my big problem with taking my cross and being crucified daily is that I don't want to let everything go. Isn't that the issue for all of us? We just don't want to let everything go. But that's what Jesus did. He did that for us. He did that to save us. He just let it all go. In Luke 23 at verse 46, Jesus said to God, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Have we committed our lives into God's hands? Are we willing to let everything go? We are making a great effort. We are emphasizing the idea of evangelism and sharing the gospel with others so that they might be saved. And in order to do that, we have to be willing to let everything go. Our ego, our pride, our dreams sometimes, our desires, our thoughts, our selfishness. We've got to let ourselves go and not worry about the circumstances, not worry about the consequences of the reactions we're going to get. We need to just let ourselves go like Christ let himself go. We need to commit our lives to God like Christ commit his soul or his spirit to God. And we just need to do that in order to save people. And there's no way people are going to be saved until we do that. When you screw up the courage to finally approach somebody with the gospel, what happens is you think, well, I'm going to do it. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to do it. And boom, you do. You talk to them about the Bible. You talk to them about God. You ask them for a Bible study. You might invite them to services. But you did it, right? And what you did in that moment is you let everything go, didn't you? You thought, okay, this I've got to talk to him. And that's what it means to be crucified daily, is to let it go and trust God to take care of everything. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 with me. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter's actually talking about submission and humility. And submission and humility are two things which require us to let everything go, to trust God completely, to commit our lives to him. And in verses 5 through 8, Peter says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." Oh, submit. That's a hard word for a lot of people. "Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." Do you know that living the Christian life the way that God would have us to live it requires every single one of us to have a spirit of submission? That you can't escape it. And a spirit of submission requires humility on our part. And that's difficult for a lot of us, because our pride and our ego and our self and our self-esteem, they all get in the way because we haven't let them go. Those are the things that need to be let go of. Those are the things that need to be crucified on the cross so that submission can be our mindset. A spirit of submission can be exemplified in our lives, and humility can be a hallmark of our existence. And when those things are true, we are the children of God. In verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Letting go of everything. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We talk about being born again. We talk about putting to death that old man and him trying to reassert himself. That's the devil, roaring like a lion. That's the devil tirelessly going back and forth through the world looking for those who have not crucified self so he can insert the pride and the arrogance and the ego and the selfishness and the desires Resist him. Crucify those things. But then he goes on to say in verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, because you're not going to be able to crucify yourself without suffering. Christ didn't die on the cross to save us from suffering. That after you suffer a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, verse 11 sounds like the end of a prayer. But look how it fits the context of what Peter's talking about here. He's saying, develop a spirit of submission and be clothed with humility. Cast all your care upon him. Let it all go. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Not you, not me, him. There is no room for ego and pride and arrogance and self in the kingdom of God, because to him be the glory. Jesus said, into your hands I commit my spirit. He did that because he trusted God to take care of everything, because he knew God cared for him. And when he cries out in the Gospel of Matthew, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was not a statement of defeat. That was a statement of conviction that God would not forsake him. Because all the priests and all the scribes and all the Pharisees are standing around the cross saying that, where is his God now? If God is pleased with him, let him come down from the cross. Let him save him now. And Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he's not saying that his Father had forsaken him. He's directing his detractors to the 22nd Psalm that teaches plainly that no matter how terrible things get, God does not forsake his children, and they will be victorious. Jesus knew this, and that's what enabled him to go to the cross the way he did. Do we trust God enough to submit to crucifixion? Do we trust God enough to let go of everything and submit to the Lord, saying, Lord, use me as you will. Help me to be your servant. Do we trust God to take care of everything? In Hebrews chapter 12, we read about the witnesses that we have looking upon us, surrounding us in our race to please God. And in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, give it all to God, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now he holds up Christ as our example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, listen to it, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God has granted us many joys and many pleasures in this life, some of which are a result of the gospel. But we can't forget that the greatest joy is still to come. And it only comes by way of the cross. Christ went to the cross because of the joy that was set before him. Back over there in Luke chapter 9, verse 24, after Jesus said we must bear our cross daily, he went on to say, he who would save his life must lose it. The only way we're going to live the life God wants us to live is we've got to lose self, lose ego, lose pride. If you would follow Jesus, you must take up your cross daily. We can't leave it comfortably in the past. The crucifixion is something that we have to face on a daily basis. Jesus was not soaked in blood so we could soak in a jacuzzi. He died on the cross to give us the opportunity to crucify ourselves on his behalf. Are you willing to take up your cross daily? Don't forget the nails. Think about these things as we stand and sing a word of encouragement.